Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to, Amy's Variety Hour on Little Miss Recap, where I get to just tell you about a show that I enjoyed, that I watched, that I wanted you to hear about. So today is another episode of Cold Case Files. As you may have guessed, I love this series. Again, it's on Netflix and it's really well done. We have a very dramatic narrator and all the cases are solved, which is my little thing that I have. It's a stipulation that I have to have when I'm watching a murder show. It has to be solved. I can't sleep at night knowing the murder's unsolved. It really bothers me on many levels. So this is the case of Sherry Lighty. And it's actually, I picked this case because, number one, first of all, it's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, which the socioeconomic landscape of Altoona, Pennsylvania is very close to where I grew up in Scranton. It's a town that has, you know, seen better days and had its heyday many, many years ago, many, many decades ago. And so, you know, kind of felt like I was telling a story out of Scranton, which that's a whole podcast for another time. Guys, my mother is constantly telling me about all these wild crimes that happened in Scranton when I was a young kid or when she was young. So maybe one of these days I'll have her on and we could talk about it. I really have to think about it. Okay. So here is the story of Sherry Lighty. This is Cold Case Files, and it's called Missing in Altoona. It's from season two, but as you heard me say before, season two on Netflix is like 75 million episodes. So this is the one with the title Missing in Altoona. Okay. So it's October 2nd, 1999, and there's a party at Shelley Nagel's house. And Shelley and Sherry are sisters, which is funny because I grew up with twins named Sherry and Shelley. They were my best friends. We used to sleep over their house, and we would go into Sherry's room, lock the bedroom door, climb out her window, and go hang out at somebody else's house, as you did in the 80s and 90s. So on October 2nd, it is Shelley's son's birthday. And they're having a family party, like you do. Now, Sherry, her sister, had split up from her husband, Aaron, and she and the kids, with nowhere to go, had to move in with Aaron's parents. So imagine this. You are a young mother. You have two kids. You are in this real bad relationship. You are deciding to break up to divorce. Like many, 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 many women, maybe even some of you listening, you often have to stay in a marriage for financial reasons, right? It's not as simple as just picking up and moving. So Sherry is one of these women, and the only place that she has to go for some reason, which they really didn't get into, was she had to stay with her husband's family. So she's living with her in-laws and divorcing her husband, which my heart breaks for her because I can't even imagine what that had to be like. And I wonder why Shelly didn't take her in, but maybe she didn't have, like, Shelly has her own kids going on. Maybe there wasn't enough room. They have a dad, but he seems like he's not physically well. So I don't know, maybe he couldn't take her in or doesn't have a home or, you know, is in some kind of care facility. So not really sure. Regardless, she has to go live with her soon-to-be ex-husband's family. So instead of Sherry showing up at the party, which is what should have happened, Aaron, her estranged husband, and his dad, Ken Lighty, show up. Shelly and Richard, who is Sherry's brother, they're both her siblings, they think this is real weird. They're like, Sherry never would have missed this birthday party. It's real strange that Aaron and his dad come and bring the kids. Like, something was up. So Ken starts saying things like, ugh. Now Ken is the father-in-law. Gee, I don't know why Sherry left her kids. I don't know why she ran off and abandoned her kids. I can't believe she would leave them. And apparently Sherry's dad and Ken have some kind of fight. They have some kind of, you know, exchange here. And Aaron and Ken end up leaving. Okay. So now we get a little bit of the story of Sherry and Shelly and Richard's upbringing. So these kids were raised by their dad. They say that they were abandoned by their mother. And there was four of them. We don't hear about the other sibling. Sherry says, or they say Sherry was shy and she was really kind. She kept to herself. She had met Aaron when she was only 14 and he was 17. They met at school and she got pregnant at 15. Ugh, dad was not happy about this. And she did manage, even though she had a baby, to stay in school and to graduate. And Richard, her brother, says, you know, maybe it was because she had her kids so young or something, but she really, they became her life. Her kids became her life and she really, really loved them. Aaron, her, 18-year-old husband at this point, becomes a truck driver. So, you know, if you're married to a truck driver, or you know someone who is, you know what kind of life that is. You're alone weeks at a time raising these kids. And so that puts a strain on their marriage and it starts to fall apart. By the age of 21, Sherry has three young children and she's doing it mostly alone. After being together for 7 years, so around the same time when she's 21, 22, she separates from Aaron and she moves in with his parents because she literally had nowhere else to go. She starts working to try to save money because she had to leave. So the husband's family, they're the ladies. And the father is Ken. We don't know much about the mother. The father's the important one. He was creepy. And apparently Sherry had said many times that this dude creeped her out. But she was kind of stuck. She had no choice but to stay with these people until she had enough money to free herself and her children of the situation or to at least afford an apartment. So she's with him. Now, I'm going to give her grace on this one because she's 21. And when you're 21, you know shit about the world. She starts dating somebody. Like, I don't know why she just couldn't wait until she moved out of her in-law's house. But okay, whatever. So she starts dating this guy. His name's Ryan. Okay. Aaron finds out about it. They get into it in the alley one night behind the lady's house. So, and I'm saying lady. L-E-I, I think it's G-H-T-Y. It's not lady as in L-A-D-Y. It's not lady. It's lady. Okay. So they get into it in the alley behind the house. A few weeks later, that's when the birthday party happens that Sherry misses. So there's a fight between Aaron and her and this new guy, Ryan. And then she suddenly doesn't show up at this birthday party. So everybody's sus. So dad calls the ladies and he's like, where the fuck is my kid? Like, what's going on? Where's Sherry? I want to talk to her. Put her on the phone. They tell him Sherry ran off to Maine. She just fucked off to Maine and left the kids. And she supposedly went with this new guy, Ryan. Now, they have no phone number, no address, no nothing. And don't forget, it's 1999. So it's not like you could track somebody. It's not like she had a cell phone. They had no way to get in touch with her. They just had to, they were expected to accept the fact that she was just gone. Dad knows something's not right here. He's like, look, Sherry, if she's going to take off, she's going to take her kids. There's no way on earth that she is going to leave these kids behind. So he goes to the police. The police tell him, hey, dude, nothing we could do. She's an adult and she could leave on her own. And this is where I really struggle, because to some extent, I understand that. But then I'm like, can't you check into this a little bit? Like, are they just literally taking Aaron's word on this? Aaron is the one with a motive to hurt her. And he is the one saying, she just left town. I don't know where she is. And they're just accepting him at his word. So this really bothered me. And I would hope that this doesn't happen as much today, but I'm sure it does. Richard says, Richard is the brother, Sherry never would have left these kids. Never, ever, ever. Especially because their mother abandoned them. So, like, there's no way she was going to turn around and do it to them. Now we meet Sergeant Sneath. So Sergeant Sneath is with the Pennsylvania State Police. And he says the Altoona police did a modicum of work on this case. Like, they interviewed Kenneth Leahy, the father-in-law. And he was the last person to see her. And he says that he dropped her off at work. And that's it. And there's no evidence that anything else happened. So the police are pretty much like, well, she's just gone. What are we? She just fucked off to Maine and she's never coming back. You're just going to have to accept it. And Richard is like, there's just no way. We were so close. There's no way she wouldn't have called us from a payphone, even to just say, I'm leaving. Here's where I'm going to be. You know, I have a saying and I say it all the time. One thing that drives me crazy is when people don't return my calls or don't respond to me. And I always say, at least tell me to fuck off. So maybe Richard was feeling that in this moment. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I wish Sherry would at least tell us to fuck off, if that's the case. So after Sherry goes missing, the Leahys keep her kids from her sister Shelley and the rest of the family. And they tell these kids that Sherry was a drunk and that she ran off with another man. Dad hounds the police throughout the years, but they're not really doing much. And by 2000, the case goes cold. Now Dad dies, and on his deathbed, Shelley makes him a promise that she will find Sherry. So she is now determined. Dad hounds the police, but they're not really doing much. And the case goes cold. Oh, I'm sorry. As Bill Curtis would tell us, by 2000, the case goes as cold as a whale's left ball sack. I don't know what he would say. The case goes as cold as the tip of the pine trees in an Altoona forest. You know, something like that, he would say. So now Dad dies, and on his deathbed, Shelley makes him a promise. She will find her sister. And now Shelley has a new determination. I'll tell you how that determination helped solve this case after the break. Hey everyone, stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, guys. So Shelley is all wound up, okay? Her father has died. She's ready to do this. So she makes a Facebook page. It's 11 years later. So now we're in like 2010. And Facebook is a thing now. She makes a Facebook page dedicated to finding Sherry and finding out what happened to her. Sherry Leahy. Leahy. So she gets a DM on this page from Aaron's ex-girlfriend. So she had been dating Aaron sometime in the last 11 years, and they had broken up. And she says in this DM, look, one time I was at the lady house, and here's what happened. I overheard one of Sherry's kids saying that mommy was buried on the lady's property in Warriors Mark under an outhouse. So the ladies had this big property. It was, I forget how many acres it was, but it was a huge property where they hunted and did all kinds of, you know, outdoorsy things. That's pretty common here in Pennsylvania. Like, I live in a pretty rural area and people have these kind of hunting properties. And so there's not necessarily a house or they're not living on it. It's just a number of acres that they have set aside for them that they own, that they hunt on. They might let other people hunt on, whatever. They might camp on them. So she says, you know, I heard one of these kids say that mommy was buried there under an outhouse, which... Ugh. Shelly tells the police and they're just like, okay, well, you know, it's hearsay. What are we going to do about this? Not much we could do. Frustrated, Shelly decides she's going to try to track down this supposed boyfriend, Ryan. And she does just that. So she finds Ryan, the boyfriend from when Sherry disappeared. Remember, supposedly they ran off and they're main together. She finds him on social media. She reaches out to him. She's like, hey, do you remember me? Do you remember my sister? You made out with her in an alley. And then, you know, Aaron came by and told you to get the fuck out of here. And then you guys took off to Maine. How's my sister? How's Maine? And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I made out with your sister in an alley. Aaron caught us. We had a little bit of a tiff. You know, we had words. And then she broke up with me and I never heard from her again. And I have to point out something really funny about this documentary. Well, this episode. Whenever Bill Curtis, the narrator, is telling us like, so Shelly takes to Facebook again. This time she's posting blah, blah, blah. There's always like this real loud keyboard sound in the background. Like click, clack, click, clack, click, clack. Like who types like that anymore? Especially when you're going on social media. You're probably just doing it from your phone. Okay, whatever. That's just an aside. So Ryan says, you know, I haven't seen your sister. We never went to Maine. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm, you know, married to somebody else and no, never happened. Now the cops are interested. Okay. So for the next few months, the investigators start gathering information and they're starting to interview everyone and they focus the investigation on Aaron Leahy. They're like, you know, he had motive. He had the means, like he easily could have done this. And he's the one who told us that she went to Maine. So he's covering something up. When they brought him in, he seemed to cooperate, which I was surprised by. Like, I have to admit, I didn't see that coming. So he was cooperative, but they were like, we can't clear him. Like, there's not enough to clear him here. So I don't know what I'm going to do. So now we go to April 19th, 2013. So remember, Sherry has been missing 14 years at this point. The Altoona detectives decide to get a search warrant to check out the lady property. Initially, Ken grants them permission to search the property. He's like, yeah, no problem. Come on up. You can hunt while you're there. Whatever. Let's hang out. Then all of a sudden he takes it back. Then they try to get a search warrant. But guess what? They don't have enough. So now we meet this DA and his name is George Zanuck. And he's pretty cool. He's the former DA, but he was the DA at the time when all this was going down. So he comes up with an idea. He's like, look, Aaron's being cooperative. Let's capitalize on that. Let's have him call his dad and see if he can get a confession out of his father. Because here's the thing. They really were focused on the Leahy family, but Aaron and Ken in particular. And it's just because Aaron obviously had motive, but Ken was the last one to see her. And she had told her brother and sister, remember, that he was creeping her out. So they were like, we don't know. He might be involved in this too. So they feel pretty confident that Aaron might not have done anything by this point because he's being so cooperative, but they're not sure that he doesn't know something. So they decide we're going to ask him to call his dad and we're going to see what happens. And DA Zanuck says, under Pennsylvania wiretap law, you only need one side to consent as long as it's authorized by a DA. So the DA is authorizing this. Aaron is consenting. So he decides, yes, I'll do it. I'll call my dad. He knew he was a suspect and he wanted to clear his own name. So he was really eager to cooperate in this way. Zanuck says he believed Aaron was always a little bit afraid of his father. So he knew that, you know, if Aaron just went willy-nilly on the phone with him, he might be intimidated and he might back down. So they together came up with sort of a script and sort of a ruse that they were going to put over on Ken. So they make the call. And they knew they only had one shot here. So Aaron calls Ken. And I don't know what the conversation, I wish they played that conversation because I want to know what it was. Was it like, hey, dad, do you remember that time that you murdered my ex-wife? Can you tell me a little bit about that and speak slow and clear right into the phone? Like, I wonder if it was that or was it like, boy, dad, I had a dream that you were the murderer of my ex-wife last night. Why would I dream that? Like, how do you bring this up with your parent? So I don't know how it was breached, but Kenneth dodged the questions. What I'm thinking they probably did, and if they were smart, they would have done it this way, is Aaron probably said, I'm being interrogated for this. I might get arrested for this. And hopefully Ken would love his son enough to kind of either, you know, by way of helping him cover this up, sort of admit to wrongdoing. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I can't get in the mind of these people. So they make the call. Ken dodges the questions and he actually gets agitated with Aaron. And he's like, dude, I can't talk here. I have to go somewhere else. I can't openly talk about a murder I committed right in front of my like coworkers here. Let me step outside, take a smoke break. So now we hear a little bit of the background of Shelley, the sister, telling us Sherry was uncomfortable around Ken Leedy because he would creep her out. He would touch her hair and he would peep under the covers when he thought she was sleeping. Total red flag, total creeper. Yeah, this guy 100% guilty. Don't ever put me on a jury, guys, because he would be guilty. So Aaron calls again and Kenneth finally just says, okay, I did it. Yeah, I did it. And here's what happened and blah, blah, blah. And DA Zanuck is like, we were stunned. And I guess Kenneth told Aaron that it was an accident. But Zanuck says no one in that room. And Aaron himself did not believe it was an accident. Aaron asks where she is. And Ken said she is up on the property. They immediately go to Ken's house now. They don't even give him a minute to breathe. They hop in the car. They head over there to question him. He does not know that the conversation earlier was taped, although I'm guessing he probably suspected it since he had the phone call with his son. And then two cops show up at his door. And don't forget, this case has been cold for 14 years. So one of the detectives tells him, you're coming with us for further questioning. And when he says that, Kenneth leaps from the couch and tries to get a gun. And trigger warning, the cops believe he was going to die by self-inflicted gunshot wounds. So they were on it, trying to secure him. And while they're trying to secure him, he's like beating the shit out of the cops. So now they have every reason to arrest him because he has, you know, knocked a police officer to the ground and assaulted an officer. So he's arrested now. Good job, dude. So they get the search warrant now and they start tearing up the farm and they're tearing it up. Here it is. There's 150 acres. That is a lot of property. I mean, I Our home is only on 1 acre and it's a lot. And my in-law's property is 70 around us and it's huge. So I can't even imagine over double that, 150 acres. And they're looking for a rock pile. And the detectives are like, do you have any idea how many rock piles are on 150 acres? It's ridiculous. So Ken says she was in a fence row, but there's a bunch of fence rows there. So they have a really hard time. They start with the hunting dog. They can't find anything there. They go to his hunting stand. They're like, we're not leaving till we find her. And this goes on for like a week. They get a forensic anthropologist and his team out there. They know they need a body or they can't get this guy. And Richard says, the brother, he's like, I was so grateful for how hard they were looking. Like they were up there every day. But then after a week, Zanuck says they have no choice but to call off the search. Like this is costing a fortune. We're digging up this property and we just can't find anything. So no pun intended, but they're between a rock and a hard place here. Like they need this body or they can't get this guy. So what is something a prosecutor needs if they don't have a body? Well, now they need a confession. They're not going to get a confession. So they have to take a plea deal to Kenneth. So this motherfucker gets a plea deal. They say to him, you take us to her body and we will just pursue third degree murder, which carries only 7 to 14 years. The family is outraged. Like this dude killed her and he's going to get 7 to 14 years. They're heartbroken and I don't blame them. So the family's pissed and they're like, they didn't even consult with us. Like they didn't even come and sit down with us. Now, this is something we saw, if you remember, if you listened to Amanda and I talk about Scott Peterson, the DA went to Lacey Peterson's family, the Rochas, and sat down with them and had their input into whether or not they were going to pursue the death penalty against Scott Peterson. So that is done occasionally. You know, they don't have to, but occasionally the prosecution can or the DA can come to the family and get input. They did not in this case. Now the deal is signed, and Ken is going to tell them exactly what happened that day. Okay, so here's what Ken said happened. He said he was taking her to work, all innocent-like. And as they were heading out the door, he doesn't know what happened, but they got into an argument and he called her a bar whore. And she told him, fuck you. And he said it back. And then he shoved her. He says she fell and she hit her head on his mirror on his truck. And then as she was falling to the ground, she hit her head off the sidewalk. He says he panicked. He got rid of the body. And that's how she died. Nobody believes him. He takes them to the property on May 11th, 2013. Zanuck says he was pissed. He was pissed that they had to give him the deal. He was pissed that he was now lying about what really happened. So whatever. They take him up there. He points out two spots in a fence row and they find the body right away. Now, Zanuck says they can do a forensic autopsy to see who was telling the truth. Was it an accident or did he like stone cold murder her? I think you guys know where this is going. The forensic anthropology team take Sherry's remains to the university, to their lab, and they go through this. And basically they deduce that her skull was crushed. This did not happen on a truck mirror. I have hit my head on a car mirror. It didn't crush my skull. This did not happen the way Ken Lady said it did. Shocker. It was blunt force trauma. He beat her. They try to get the truth from him again. He won't give it. Ken Lady was 66 years old when he was sentenced to 7 to 14 years. Shelley addressed him in court. The family held a memorial service and buried Sherry with their father. And Shelley says she feels she kept her promise to her father and that they are all together again. 2020. After 7 years, Ken is eligible for parole. Shelley takes to social media again and starts getting petitions, and it gets thousands of signatures. He's denied parole. Shelley tells us that they still don't really have a relationship with Sherry's kids, and it's really sad. Now, I did look up this Facebook page because it's still active, and I will tell you that there was an update just this year, February 26th, 2024, like just a few weeks ago. Shelley writes, I received a wonderful email today stating that Sherry's killer was denied parole again for the fourth time and won't be eligible again until February 2026. I can't express how elated my family and I are to know he won't be out anytime soon. I want to thank every single person who has supported us and took the time out of your day to sign and share this petition. Let's celebrate this win once again. Love, Shelley. And then she says, I have posted a copy of the reasons for his denial, and as usual, he has shown no remorse for killing Sherry and refusing to take responsibility for killing Sherry. It shows how horrible this monster truly is. Guys, this case, I mean, I can't even imagine that somebody that your sister, your friend just goes missing, leaves her children behind, and all the only person who is telling you where she went is the person with the most to gain. Like Aaron, I'm stunned, frankly, that Aaron was not more complicit in this murder. But the fact that they would just take Aaron's word for it when they know they had a rocky relationship, they know there was a confrontation, like, why didn't they investigate this further? I mean, I know that you can't investigate every missing person. I mean, we saw this, you know, many times, especially when I think about the Jennifer Pandos case. Missing people, like, it's impossible almost when you have no digital trail of people and you have no surveillance and you have no evidence of where the person went, especially if the person's an adult, like in this case. And I get that. Is there a world in which a mother could leave her children for a man and walk off? Absolutely. Sherry's mother did that. We learn about that. But I think in a case like this, there needs to be a bit more investigating, especially if it's something that is way out of character for the person. And it sounds like that was what, like, all they really had to do was track down this Ryan guy. That's it. They just had to track down Ryan in 1999. And if he said no, then clearly that's not where she went. So again, another frustrating tale of law enforcement not believing a woman. Happens all the time. I think we've gotten better in this realm. I think we've made a tiny bit of progress, hopefully. But it unfortunately didn't help Sherry Lighty. I'm glad that they did get to bring her home, to bury her with her dad, and that they are reunited. And that's the end of this case. Guys, I hope you're enjoying these little true crime things that I'm doing for you. If you haven't already, check out Backdoor Friends, my Facebook group. It's so much fun. A lot of ladies of a certain age in there. And if you're a lady of a younger age, but you feel like a lady of a certain age because you don't like to go out past 9 and you like to solve murders from your couch, you are more than welcome to come in and join us. If you like what you hear, consider leaving a review. I would love to hear from you what you think. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.